At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin Israel. Again, you shall take your tambourines and go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when sentinels will call in the hill country of Ephraim, Come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. Our epistle lesson this morning is found in Acts chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Our Psalter lesson this morning is from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Would you stand as we respond to the Psalter? Would you remain standing for the reading of the Gospel?
Our Gospel lesson comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, risen Christ, we come here this morning and want to be startled again by the good news that death has lost its sting. Send your Holy Spirit into this place that we may hear what you would have us hear, that even this morning we may be made new. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, indeed, this is the day that the Lord has made, is it not? We have been through Lent. We have been through Good Friday, even Holy Saturday. And today we find ourselves at the very center of the story of our faith. We find ourselves at the very center of this story we are living. The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen, and this is indeed the day of resurrection. This day, favorite days in the church year. I love the flowers, I love the music, I love processing in the new Christ candle, I love everything about it. The feast that happens with family and friends afterwards, everything about it. It's one of those days that should literally blow us away, that should cause us to stand up and shout, Christ is risen! Amen. For on this day we celebrate that new creation is literally bursting out of the tomb. And yet, this year, I was struck by something I had never really thought about before. It's always been there in the text. I've just never really thought about it quite this way. That Easter always begins in a cemetery. And it seems strange that this day of celebration begins in a graveyard, does it not? But the story we have come to tell this morning always begins with Mary Magdalene and that other Mary. I love that part. The other Mary. How would you like that to be known as the other Mary? But our story always begins with the two Marys going to see the tomb, going to a cemetery. Now, people have different experiences of cemeteries. Some find them peaceful. Some find them a little creepy. The Hollywood movies make them out to be that way. Others find them overwhelming because of the memories that flood back into our minds of loved ones lost. I had a friend who once told me that she liked to bike into the middle of a cemetery, Graceland Cemetery up on Lawrence and Clark. She liked in the summer to bike into the middle of it and bring a good book with her and sit down in the pond that they have there and read. Admittedly, it seemed a little strange, and I said, no judgment, no judgment. But I think we can all agree that there's something very final about a cemetery. Our general experience is that death is the end. When people are dead, they tend to stay dead. Maybe it's the finality of burying a body in the ground that says, this is it. It's over. That's probably what those women were thinking when they went to the tomb that morning. It's over. Our hopes for who this man was are gone. The disciples have gone into hiding, and we are left with nothing else to do but to wrap the body in spices. Death seems to have been stronger than love. You see, on that first Easter morning, the grieving women had no reason for hope. They had been in Jerusalem, having come up from Galilee, and had witnessed all of the events the week before, those events that we have spent this week walking through. They had seen the betrayal. They had watched as Jesus appeared before the chief priests, had watched while he was sentenced before Pilate. They had watched him take that long walk to Golgotha. They had seen the mocking and the cursing, the sword piercing his side. They had seen the crucifying. And yet, in the midst of their pain and grief, they make their way to the tomb early that first Easter morning to do something very practical in those days. They go to put spices in the tomb so that the body would not smell. Now, a disruption is the act of disturbing the natural order of things. And up until this moment, the natural order of things was that death was final. There are no ifs, ands, or buts, no maybes or possibilities. Death is the end. But in this moment, in the early morning, as the women approach the tomb, the earth literally shakes and there is a disruption. A disruption of the order of things. As the women arrive at the tomb, the earth shakes and an angel descends onto the tomb and rolls back the stone. The Roman guards who had been placed there to watch the body in case someone might steal it were paralyzed with fear. And the angel says to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. Go and tell his disciples that indeed he has been raised from the dead." The women, consumed with fear and great joy, run to tell the disciples, and along the way, Jesus meets them, and they take hold of his feet, and they worship him. You see, resurrection has a funny way of shattering the way things are. And here in a cemetery where all hope is seemingly lost, God declares once and for all that death is not the end. And so in that moment when the earth trembled, the truth of Jesus' life was demonstrated. All of the healings, all of the teachings, all of the miracles, all of it pointing to this, the victory over death. The resurrection is the realization of everything Jesus had said and done. That is the radical message of Easter. Everything is changed. There is life after death, and there is a new creation bursting forth right now. It's all very hard for us who experience death as final, as complete, as the end. It's hard for those who put loved ones in the grave to wrap our minds around the resurrection of the body. In many ways, this story of the resurrection is so outside the bounds of what is normal that throughout the years we have tried to make it a little bit more palatable. We have attempted to domesticate it a little bit. We talk about resurrection as the liberation of the soul from the body, or the soul separating from the body and floating up into heaven. But that is not what those first Christians experienced or witnessed. What those first Christians witnessed was the resurrection of Jesus' body, flesh and bone, his whole being. Now, I'll be the first to admit that it may not have been exactly how we understand flesh and bone. Jesus, as the Bible tells us, was able to float through doors. And some of his disciples did not recognize him at first. But let there be no doubt, the story we are telling this morning, the story we live every day, is about the resurrection of the body. So what we are talking about is something more than what happens when you die. What we are talking about this morning is more than just life after death. It is absolutely that, but it is also something more. What we are talking about this morning is something at the heart of the Christian story. You see, this is important because the story we are retelling this morning is not that when we die, we abandon this world. The story we are telling this morning is that God does not abandon this world, and that something new, something radical has happened to put this world back together. I think Rob Bell puts it well when he says that when we talk about resurrection, we are not celebrating that we are not going to get left behind. We are talking about God's affirmation of this world. God's affirmation of creation, of bone and skin, of tree and soil. It's good. And God is restoring it, beginning with an empty tomb. This story at the center of our faith is about eternal life, but it is also about the possibility of new life here. New life now. The possibility of hope, of redemption, of transformation, even now. I think I was struck by the imagery of Easter beginning in a cemetery because I'm convinced that more often than not, it feels like we live in a Good Friday world. We live our lives confronted by death, confronted by pain, hatred, and sin. We all have stories or no stories of death, of those moments when the only response we seem to be able to mutter is, "This is it. It's over." But the resurrection is God's declaration that this world matters. That this life matters. And even now, a new life is possible. Resurrection is God's declaration that a new creation is bursting forth. Resurrection is God's radical disruption of the way things are. It is the start of something new that will put this world back together, that will restore us, and it begins with Jesus conquering death. It begins with an empty tomb. Resurrection is God's declaration that, friends, there is a reason for hope. Ultimately, I suppose it makes complete sense that Easter begins in a cemetery. That new life rises in the midst of death. It seems so fitting that in a place so filled with grief and pain, filled with thoughts and laments of what could have been, comes this story of resurrection. This declaration from God that death has lost its sting. In the Moravian church, they have this really unique ritual of greeting the Easter sunrise in a cemetery. The church gathers on Easter morning, in the dark of Easter morning, in a darkened cemetery. And then as the sun rises, with the blowing of trumpets and the singing of hymns, they march to the church and celebrate resurrection, and to share in an Easter feast. It seems strange and yet somehow so very appropriate. And perhaps the most compelling aspect of this tradition is how it overshadows from that moment forward every burial service that is conducted throughout the year. Each time those people gather to bury someone, they do so with the knowledge that Easter begins in this place. On Friday, I was at Grace Covenant Church as we walked once again through the story of Good Friday, through the story of Jesus' death. I was sitting in the back of the sanctuary, and in the seat in front of me was a woman holding a child. She had to be less than a year, I would guess 10 months old. As we sat in the darkness of death, as we listened again to the story, in the silence, this little girl began to make noises. She began to coo a little bit. She even began to laugh a little bit. And then as her dad handed her Cheerios, she began to feast. Eventually, it got a little bit too loud for the parents' comfort, and they started to get up and go out. And I wanted to stop them, and I wanted to say, "No, don't leave." Because that is what resurrection is all about. It's about being confronted by the darkness of death and feasting. Perhaps even laughing a little bit. Because we know that Easter begins in that place. So maybe my friend who bikes into Graceland Cemetery to read her book is onto something. But maybe we in the church don't just bike in to read a book. Maybe we bring a blanket and a picnic basket. Maybe we spread out a feast to take part. Maybe we go with some friends and bring some music and maybe even our dance shoes and shout for all to hear, "He is not here, He is risen.
He is risen indeed."
Amen. Because you see, as followers of the God who pulls life from death, As Easter people, we learn to walk in the cemeteries of our world. We learn to walk in the cemeteries of our lives, in the graveyards of our friends' lives, into those places where people have lost hope, those places where all people can say is, this is it, it's over. We walk into those places and declare with a resounding voice that Easter begins in this place. Death has lost its sting. Because you see, we are a resurrection people. So let us boldly proclaim the good news. He is not here. He is risen. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Amen.